Let's read together Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Now, in this final portion of Daniel chapter 8, we have a prediction of an end-time anti-Semitic ruler who was foreshadowed by Antiochus Epiphanes of history. Let's begin our reading with verse 20 and read through verse 25. Daniel chapter 8, beginning now with verse 20. The ram which you saw, having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty, and also the holy people. Through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. Let's begin our study of this portion of Daniel chapter 8 with some background notes. In the first half of Daniel chapter 8, we saw that Daniel had a vision of two beasts, which represented two of the world's ancient empires. The budding ram represented the Medo-Persian Empire, and the swift goat represented the Greek Empire. Now, we don't have to guess at this interpretation because it's given to us right here in verses 20 and 21. Let's read those verses once again. The ram which you saw having the two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is the first king. Daniel chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. We saw that the large horn of the goat represented Alexander the Great of the Greek Empire. After Alexander the Great's death, the Greek Empire was divided among his four generals, and four kingdoms resulted, represented by the four horns that replaced the broken large horn. Verse 22. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power. Out of one of these four horns or divisions, namely the Seleucid kingdom to the north of Israel, a king arose who was like a Hitler to the Jewish people. He killed thousands of Jews, destroyed scripture, and desecrated the temple. This little horn of the Seleucid kingdom was Antiochus IV. His friends called him Antiochus Epiphanes, or the illustrious one. But the Jews, with a little play of words, called him Antiochus Epimenes, or the madman. It was the Maccabees who rose up against the Seleucids and were able to gain a measure of independence again for Israel. They cleansed the temple in 165 BC, an event still remembered today in the celebration of Hanukkah. We see in verse 25 the prediction that this little horn of Antiochus Epiphanes would be broken without human agency. That is, God would break down this ruthless tyrant. Antiochus died insane in 163 BC. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, the little horn of Daniel 8 is not the same as the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. The little horn of Daniel 8 is not the same as the little horn of Daniel 7. Now, when you first read the prophetic books of Daniel and Revelation, it's easy to get confused concerning all the beasts and all the horns. This is understandable. And when it comes to the little horns of Daniel chapter 7 and 8, it is very easy to get mixed up if you don't study the chapters carefully. We saw in our study of Daniel chapter 7 that the little horn that grew out of one of the horns of the fourth beast, or Rome, represented the powerful end-time world leader known as the Roman beast. He will head up a Western empire called the Revived Roman Empire, consisting of 10 subdivisions covering Europe and regions of the old Roman Empire. This end-time Roman beast, who in some way has the number 666, according to Revelation chapter 13, is the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. The little horn of Daniel chapter 8, on the other hand, was the Seleucid king, Antiochus IV of history. This little horn did not come out of the ferocious fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, which represents the ancient Roman Empire, but came out of the male goat of Daniel chapter 8, which represents the ancient Greek Empire. So clearly, the little horn of Daniel chapter 8 is not the same as the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. Doctrinal point number two. The little horn of Daniel 8 typifies the future king of the north. The little horn of Daniel 8 typifies the future king of the north. In both verse 17 and verse 19 of Daniel 8, the angel Gabriel told Daniel that the vision of Daniel chapter 8 would not be completely fulfilled until the time of the end. The end of verse 17. But Gabriel said to me, "Understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end." And verse 19. And Gabriel said, "Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter time of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be." So we believe the prophecy of the little horn of Daniel chapter 8, while fulfilled historically in Antiochus IV of the Seleucid Empire, foreshadows an end-time world leader as well. Notice verse 23, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features or countenance, who understands sinister schemes." So while Antiochus IV arose near the end of the Seleucid kingdom, he foreshadows an end-time, cruel, anti-Semitic ruler who will come on the world stage when transgressors are come to the full. Verse 23, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness," that is during the tribulation period of the future, also known as the time of Jacob's trouble, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Now, who is this end-time leader? The commentaries and students of the word are not in full agreement. Some say he is the Roman beast of 666 notoriety. Others, including myself, say he is the future king of the north. When we get to Daniel chapter 11, we will see that there is an end-time figure known as the king of the north who comes against Israel. And it certainly seems that he is distinct from the Roman beast. Remember, the little horns of Daniel chapter 7 and 8 are not the same person. The Roman beast, or little horn of Daniel chapter 7, will come out of one of the areas of the revived Roman Empire, maybe out of the present-day European Union. The king of the north, who is foreshadowed by Antiochus Epiphanes, the little horn of Daniel chapter 8, will come out of the region which was once the Seleucid Empire. As we mentioned in our last talk, this region would include Syria to the north of Israel, as well as what is now Iraq and Iran, and also a good portion of Turkey. So it looks like the future king of the north will come out of the Muslim world and will be a product of the radical Muslim movement that hates Israel and wants to annihilate Israel. We see in verse 24 that his power will not be his own. It will be satanic power directed against God's people. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty, and also the holy people. We see in verse 25 that this proud, cunning, end-time ruler will kill many who think that they are safe, probably safe under the temporary covenant of the tribulation period that we'll read about in Daniel chapter 9. The king of the north will even dare to oppose Christ, the Prince of Princes. This is probably when the Lord returns to this earth to set up his earthly millennial kingdom, the kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. But this king of the north will be defeated directly by the Lord himself. Verse 25, through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the Prince of Princes, but he shall be broken without human means. Question, is the future king of the north alive today? We don't know. Is he the present ruler of Iran or Syria? Again, we don't know. Time will tell. What we do know is that the little horn of Daniel 8 typifies the future king of the north. What about practical application from this portion of Daniel chapter 8? Don't quit work when you study Bible prophecy. Don't quit work when you study Bible prophecy. Verses 26 and 27. Daniel chapter 8, beginning with verse 26 now. And the vision of the evenings and mornings, which was told, is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished or amazed by the vision, but no one understood it. Daniel was told that the vision pertained to many days in the future, not only the 4 centuries until Antiochus Epiphanes of the intertestamental period, but also to the end time. Daniel's response to the vision was the same response we might have when we realize the horrors to come in the future, even though, like Daniel, we don't understand all the details fully. When we read in the prophecies of Revelation, for example, of the worldwide catastrophes and plagues to come in the future, and the many people who will die, it can actually be physically exhausting and emotionally disturbing. You might even feel like quitting work or not getting out of bed. But Daniel recovered and got back up and continued his secular job of serving the king, even though he knew the Babylonian Empire was soon to fall to the Persians. And so should we get back up and continue our work. The study of biblical prophecy can be emotionally draining, but don't quit work when you study Bible prophecy.